Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 27th of March, recording at 10:24 p.m., and that's British summertime. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets showed pretty solid gains across the board. So the one exception, the China A shares, were down slightly, but that did not deter Hong Kong, which was up 1.83%. And Japan probably did best of all, up 2.36%, taking the Nikkei up to 10,255. European stock markets opened with modest gains, but those were pared back, and it closed the day with small losses. The biggest was 1% by the Spanish IBEX index. In the Americas, Mexico managed to close with a small gain of 0.25%, but the other indices showed modest declines, again reversing some earlier gains. The S&P was down 4 points, and that's just 0.28%. And long-dated government bond prices firmed again today against this background. Now I'm looking at the it included the JGBs and the European and US futures. Precious metals prices were firm early on, but gold and silver and palladium lost their gains. Gold's trading at 1680 right now. It had been up around the 1700 level, just over, and it's down nearly $10 right now. Silver's down 13 at 32.62. We had a quiet day in the oil market, around 125 for the Brent and 107.33. That's slightly higher for the WTI. Natural gas drifting downwards. Grains and beans, they'd started off a little firmer, but then weakened, particularly wheat. That may constitute a small downward dynamic. And soybeans, which has been the front runner, looks like it's losing upward momentum somewhat. Rough rice is the holdout, and it's been firmest in the sector over the last couple of days. Industrial metals are mostly a little bit weaker. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, the amazing first quarter of this year for stock markets is drawing to a close this week, of course, and we continue to get some of these small, rangy, relatively short-lived corrective phases. Now, that's very healthy action, as I've mentioned in consecutive nights with these audios. Because what we're not doing is lurching into a sudden risk-off type of environment. I mean, that could happen because a number of markets—it's always a possibility. I don't feel it's necessarily a probability, but we do have some quite overbought short-term conditions, as you would imagine. And given the gains that have actually occurred. Now, those tend to be atypical moves of that strong, and they are usually almost invariably followed by reversions back to the trend mean, approximated by a rising 200-day moving average. And when we look through our libraries, a number of the autonomies are in that position, none more so than Apple, of course. But I've described Apple as the new gold in terms of sentiment and fan worship, and not without a considerable degree of justification. And it was strong in here again today. But to take another autonomy, which we like a lot, which had a lesser acceleration and then buckled last Friday, was Nike, a wonderful company. And I would not be looking for more than some mean reversion by Nike, but it always happens when these big overextensions are invariably followed by reversion towards the mean, the 200-day MA. In other words, the only exception to that would be in the instance of a takeover, but we're not talking about companies right now that are takeover candidates. Now, that mean reversion can be sideways, it can be a relatively sharp pullback. The relatively sharp pullbacks tend to occur more often when there's some sort of catalyst which leads to a risk off type of thinking. But and I would also say that when Apple does eventually boil over, and it shouldn't be hard to see when that actually happens, but when it does eventually boil over, that will almost inevitably, excuse me, weigh on the NASDAQ index itself, and that may provide a hedge short opportunity, but I would not preempt it in here right now. It's just been too strong and too consistent, and we would want to see some weakness that was both dynamic and also that lasted more than a single day. In terms of overall valuations here, I think many markets, particularly the emerging markets, still look quite cheap. They have been overshadowed this year to a considerable extent by the runaway uptrend on Wall Street. That's overshadowed most markets, although I mean, I'm just looking at the Nikkei's gains here. It's up 29.29% this year. That's outperforming both the I beg your pardon. That was in yen terms. In dollar terms, it's up 11.5%, and that rests better than the Dow, but a percentage point less than the S&P 500. Now, Japan is, of course, a very developed market, but the emerging market valuations, I think, are really quite attractive. But to repeat my point, they've been overshadowed by Wall Street's gains, and that is something that could persist for a little while longer until we actually see more monetary stimulus from those countries, assuming that we do actually get more monetary stimulus. Now, if we don't, it will be because the catalyst for a corrective phase that I fear most would be a spike in the price of crude oil. Crude oil, although quiet at the moment, is and it's been quiet for over a week in this relatively tight range, but it's too firm for comfort overall, and the patterns show a fair degree of support underneath. So anyone looking at those crude oil charts on a technical basis can only conclude that there's no evidence that these that this overall upward bias has actually ended. So a spike in crude oil would be a game changer, and I think it would throw stock markets into more than just a pause and reaction. I think they would throw it into into a corrective phase. And in it's not hard to understand why, because in economic terms, crude oil is already a bit of a headwind. It's not all that severe, partly because it hasn't instilled the fear that a price spike does create. This price spikes tend to be relatively brief because they lead to a fair degree of demand destruction. But I have yet to see a spike in the price of crude oil that has not led to a sharp reaction, and it's and they also tend to tend to trigger recessions. But as I say, we haven't had that spike yet, but it is a it is a risk. And the main reason cited for this is tension over the Iran nuclear situation. So there are risks out there. There are always risks out there. But overall, in terms of good abundant liquidity, particularly in the Western markets in Europe and also the United States, and more recently in Japan, and that is equity supportive. And it's only really in some of the growth economies that we have yet to see a real change, especially in China and India. Long-term government bond prices are getting technical rallies back up underneath the top formations that you can see on all the charts. Now, if the bull market, that 30-year bull market in long-dated government bond prices, and therefore that long decline, 30-year decline in long-dated government bond yields, if those trends are over, then we will see this technical rally in the bond futures stall in the lower recesses of the overhanging top areas. That's my best guess, is that that's exactly what we will actually see. Precious metals need to hold the lows that we saw a week or two ago to establish higher reaction lows and to extend their current rallies. I think that's still a reasonable prospect in the short term, but it's best to bear in mind that we are still in this overall ranging corrective phase, and there's no conclusive evidence that that's over yet for precious metals. That's pretty much it. So, all the best.